Why don't we grab our seats? Thank you, team. Very good. So if we haven't met, my name's John, and I'm the location pastor here with my wife, Emma. Well, we are the location pastors here, I should say. We're in it together, and it's good, all right? Yes? It's good. Life is good. Life was good, and then you came to church. If you take notes in your messages, then I don't normally title my messages, but if I was going to title my message today, I would title it, What's Your Excuse? So get ready. Get ready. It's going to be good. But church, we have our kids down the front every Sunday morning worshipping. And I was just standing there watching them this morning, and there's, I like to call them the Three Stooges. There's Blake, and there's little John, and there's Tex. And they're standing there, and they're copying the drums. And I had this moment of what would happen, Shane, if instead of them copying you, you started copying them. So maybe next time you're on team, we'll just try that, see if the team can keep up. But they're doing that, and then next minute they're playing their air guitar, and then they're playing the keyboard, and then they started, I'm not sure whether it was a saxophone or a recorder or a, I don't know, clarinet, I don't know what it was, but they started playing some woodwind instrument out, and then they're back to drums, and they're back to, it's just so cool that we are in to bringing our kids up, not just standing back. I'm bored, I want to go home. There's moments where there's that. But overall, they're having fun. They're learning what it is to worship. They're learning what it is to have fun in the house of God. And we need to have fun in the house of God, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right? What's your excuse for not having fun? Ooh, we could bring this what's your excuse into so many different areas of life. But as we're gearing up to Easter, we're preaching this morning about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. And I didn't get far through reading the Bible and started, this message just dropped into my spirit. And so we're going to get into that in just a moment. But before we do, it comes so well into the what's your excuse kind of deal. Is that Tegan sent us a link to your, why was it a link? I don't know. Sent us a video thing. It was a reel, was it? Okay, it was a reel. I can't remember what it was, but a video. I don't know whether they're videos or reels or posts or I don't know, all the terminology. You go to try and find something again and it's not as a post because it was a reel, but then sometimes reels are posts and sometimes anybody else get confused by social media? All right, just help me out. I get so lost and have no idea what is going on, but it's all good. I posted a story last week and Kirby said to me, you did a story. I generally don't. I always get stuck into her for the church socials because she, in a loving way, but she posts stories. And I thought, who's posts stories? Like people don't sit there and look at stories. You just see what someone, and then she's like, no, everyone does stories. I'm like, okay, I'm just old. All right, whatever. So, but anyways, this is a reel that came from St. Aldate's, maybe. I'm not sure, in Oxford. And so I won't introduce it anymore. We'll just roll this. This is Stephen. Meet Stephen.
The church. I didn't even really like Christians that much. I used to think of it like a package deal. Like, you get Jesus, and so you get the church and Christians thrown. It's just part of the package. And there are some bits you like Jesus, some bits you don't like so much. Just like the church and Christians, used to find that a bit annoying. But I turned up to church and gave through it. But I didn't really enjoy going to church. And then one day, I was at the back of our church in East London, and someone said to me, oh, we need help to run the coffee team. And I was like working like 70, 80 hour week. I'm like, what? And they were like, yeah, Steve, we really need your help running the coffee team on a Sunday. And I was thinking, I'm a pastor, I'm not a barista. Like, I've got a job, I don't need another job to run the coffee team. But I just, you know, sometimes you just can't even think of what to say. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. Okay. And instantly, why did I do that? So I turned up next week, like, you know, trying to get the cups and everything, get the coffee right. As I handed these cups to people, something really changed in me. I found myself, as I handed coffee to these people, growing in love for them. I was like, these people are amazing. Like, this is this extraordinarily diverse community. It's been gathered from across the area. Probably not another place that looks as diverse and integrated as this. This is a miracle. And then even people I found a little bit more frustrating and complicated, as I handed them their coffee, I kind of grew in love for them. And I kind of basically fell in love with the church. And then I kind of went back to the person who'd asked me to do it. I said, we need a new coffee machine. We need better beans. We need better mugs. Like, come on, these are amazing people. I want this to be the best coffee that they get. You know, they're coming to church on a Sunday morning. I got more and more passionate. I started to build a team to serve coffee on a Sunday morning. I sometimes say, making coffee changed my life because I fell in love with the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize why it was special. I didn't realize why it mattered. And as I made coffee for people, I suddenly realized, oh, the church is like the bride of Jesus Christ. It's like the thing he gave himself for. Like, the church is God's plan for the salvation of the world. There's no plan B, and God is going to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, like, God is putting all his eggs in the church basket. And I realized over those few weeks, there's a beautiful thing here. Yes, it messes up. Yes, it makes mistakes. You'll never find a perfect church, but it's a beautiful thing. And I thought, that's what I want to spend my life building.
So, how cool is that? So Stephen, from working 60, 70-hour weeks, not serving in church, gets asked, not just can you serve on the coffee team, but can you run the coffee team? It's like, don't ask someone who's got no time to do something. Ask people who are busy to do stuff because they get the job done, right? As everyone knows how that works. And so get busy doing something, right, is basically the point there. But Stephen, it's not the point, but it is the side point. Stephen went from being a barrister to being a barista to being a vicar. And so Stephen now is the vicar of that church. I think he was when they made this video, but he's now the vicar of St. Aldate's, Oxford, in East London. It's like, what a transformation. Stephen could have so easily gone, I'm too busy. Right, and every one of us would have gone, fair enough, you're a busy man. But he chose to say yes to Jesus. He chose to say, I'll give this a crack. And through the process, fell in love. I love the way he says that is, I love Jesus, but there's this package deal when it comes to, and there's the church and there's the people, and you have to deal with me if you come to church. It's like, wouldn't it just be so much nicer to just come and just deal with Jesus? But no, you get John as well, and you get Shane. And you get Julie, and Julie, and Julie, and Julie. There's about five Julies kicking around. If you're visiting this morning, there's lots of Julies in our church. So, but you get to deal with us. And I love the fact that when you jump in and say, yes, I'll serve, you get to find out who us is. You get to find out, well, what makes us tick? A bunch of mismatched people. I've said that many a times, but it's like you don't know that until you're serving. And you're out on kids. And you're dealing with everyone's children. You're dealing with my children. You're dealing with the pros and the cons. They're so cute and they're so sweet and they're just loving and they're kind and they're generous and they're beautifully mannered, and then they just go snap and there's a meltdown just brewing right there, and you've got to suddenly step in and deal with that. But it builds all sorts as we're serving. And then we're on coffee team and we're serving there. And we're at the front door, and it's so nice serving out, welcoming people on the front door today because it's a beautiful day. But last week, not so nice. In a few weeks' time, winter's coming, right? And so it's going to be 12 degrees outside and not so nice. But are we... Some people get excited about that. Some people are so keen for the 40 degrees to come back already. But this is good. Like 26 to 30, just beautiful. It's a little bit humid today. And the wind blows up, still stirring up a little bit of pollen and grasses and whatever, which, like yesterday, I was in a cranky mood, according to my wife, because my hay fever all flared up and I was in the back of my throat and it was coming out everywhere, and I'm done, I'm over this, and apparently I was cranky and snappy with the kids. So it happens, right? But where are you at with your life of serving? I love this, Luke 9. So as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, this is Jesus and his disciples walking along the road, starting their journey to Jerusalem. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Doesn't Jesus just frustrate you the way he talks? It's like, just say what you mean. It's like, why do you need to speak in riddles? He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, this is the other man replying, Lord, first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Pastoral Care 101, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Nice and loving, full of mercy and grace. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so we've got these three interactions. We've got these three conversations. These three individuals who are part of us. They're part of the people on a journey of following Jesus, on a journey of finding out who Jesus is, on a journey of where do I fit in this whole deal. Different context, different culture, different time and place. But that could be you, that could be me. Trying to work out, where do I fit? What do I do? What am I willing to give up? What am I willing to lay down? And so the first one Jesus speaks to. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, and the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So what are we dealing with here? Could be so many things. But as I was thinking about it, praying about it, doing some research, as you do, because trying to unpack the Bible by myself with my mind, it generally unpacks in a very wrong, weird direction. So I get all the help I can get wherever I can. And so this first one, the sacrifice of security and comfort. Who loves being secure? Who loves feeling like they're in a secure environment? A secure home, a secure relationship, a secure job, a secure, all of those different things. Most people would take a slight pay cut to get the security than to continue to live with just that little bit more, but the unknown of tomorrow could be the last day. The reality is that we as humans want to feel secure. We want to feel comfortable. Most of us this morning are wearing Birkenstocks to church instead of boots because they're more comfortable, right? correct? Can we run a poll? How many people are actually wearing? No, there's a few. I'm just looking around at just the people's feet that I can see, and there's a number of Birkenstocks. There are a couple of people wearing boots though, which is good. But it's the then you just got the flip-flops. Or jandals, yeah, what is the go with jandals? Anyway, we won't go there. We won't get sidetracked with jandals. But seriously, if someone can, anyway. Let's keep moving because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. So we've got our comfort. We've got our security. And so what excuses do we make when it comes to serving God? What excuses do we make when it comes to following Jesus? What excuses do we make when it comes to living by faith? Because, I'd rather just stay and feel secure. I'd rather just live in my comfortable world where I go to work 9 to 5, I come home, dinner's on the table, or I prep dinner, and then we put the kids to bed and we watch our favourite TV show and then go to bed and then wake up the next morning. And that's a secure environment. That's comfortable where we know what's going to happen. It's predictable. It's ready to go. If you've got young kids, then it's not so predictable. But we don't just suddenly go, oh, we're doing this, do we? It's still predictable most of the time for most of us. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. This is a little chunk of scripture, but it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? John Cena just proved the body is, anyway, but you know. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in their barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow. I've somehow inserted extra words into that little bit of scripture. That's always good when you copy and paste. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Hang on, we're living by faith, but maybe don't, let's all put our hands up, but maybe we can just all put our hands up. Who is worried about their bank balance? Who is worried about what they're going to wear? Who is worried about what they're going to eat? Who is worried about what they're going to do? What does the next 6 months or 12 months look like? You of little faith. I'm reading this during the week. Hang on, we're preaching on by faith this year. We're looking at living a life following Jesus and living by faith, but all I'm doing is reading this and going, I've got no faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough worry of its own. So confronting. Such a challenge to read that and go, okay, well, I want to live my life. I want to read the Bible and I want to apply it to my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to live by faith. I want to, hang on, don't worry about tomorrow. Oof, just got a little bit heavy, right? Just got a little bit deeper. Just got a little bit more. How do I do this? The second man, we're just going to keep moving because I'm quickly running out of time. The second man, Jesus says to him, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury their own. It's like all he wants to do is go back and bury his father, but no, let them sort themselves out. Sacrifice of family. This is probably one of the hardest. Because when you start to look at what family is, when you start to look at what family means, when you start to look at where you've come from, where you're going. These are the hardest conversations, the hardest things to give up. I remember so many times early on, not so much now because the kind of platform's been set, but so many conversations I had with my mum early on when family functions were on a Sunday at lunchtime, and just the conversations of, we'll be there, but we won't be able to get there till 1:30, 2 o'clock. We can't come up to your place because it's 2.5 hours away. We can't be there on Sunday. We can't just pop up for Christmas lunch. It's just not practical. It doesn't work because we want to be, oh, but you need to be, and there's the need and the want conversations, and it just goes round and round in circles, and at the end of the day, there's not really any winners. It sucks, right? Having those conversations. And then you feel like the bad person because you chose church over family. You've chose church over some birthday party or some family christening or some deal that's really important to that person, but just as important to you, but just because you can't get there, it's not a deal of, well, if I could be in every place at the same time, I would be, but it's just not the reality, and it's the sacrifice to go, but hang on, I can't do this, or I'm going to be late to that because of what I know I need to do, because of what I'm called to do. The sacrifice of family is such a hard one. Because the reality is, and I get caught in this deal of, but we're called to love. Or we're called to do this. It's like, hang on, I'm called to build the kingdom of God. Oh, but am I building the kingdom of God by being at the family thing? Maybe. And so there's this messed up, just verbal of, what do I do? What's the right thing? Who am I going to upset? Don't never answer the question with, who am I going to upset least? Because that's just, you're going to upset even more people when you go down that road. But there's this, just this messed up, twisted up ball that ends up in our throat, ends up in our heart, ends up in our head, ends up all over the places. We wrestle with this and grapple with, what do I do? How do I deal with this? How do I proceed? How do I move forward keeping the peace? How do I move forward following Jesus? How do I not feel like I'm letting someone down? How do I not feel like, by faith? By faith is the only way. And the reality is, the thing that I had to settle in myself is, I'm going to let someone down. There's going to be someone that's upset. There's going to be someone, because it doesn't matter what I choose, someone's not going to be happy. And so what do I want to do? What do I need to do? Where am I going in my life? Selfish, but at the same time, it's not selfish at all. I met with someone during the week and just talking about priorities and how we just juggle and unpack and work out what's what. And I said, you know, the best way to work out your week is to write down a priority list of what is the most important to you and go down. And so you start at the top with God. I'm a Christian. I love God. God's number one. Right? Most people who follow God go, yep, God's number one. Family's pretty close behind for a lot of people. And then we kind of work down and we go to work and we go to recreation and we go to the other bits and pieces. But so often when we build our week, we don't start with our priority. We start with, oh, well, I've got sport on Tuesday night, Thursday night and Saturday. And so, bang, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, sports in the calendar, that's done. And then, oh, well, I need to fit in a date night and I need to fit in some time with family. And so, oh, I'm going to be home for one meal with the family this week. So, all right, well, that's Wednesday night. So Wednesday night's there. So now I've got sport and I've got family ticked off. And then we go through and we go, oh, hang on, I've got work. Oh, I've got that conference. I'm interstate. I'm this and I'm that. And, well, hang on, I can't actually be home Wednesday night. So family dinner's going to have to go to Tuesday, which means I can't go to sport Tuesday because now I have to move family dinner to Tuesday, which then means that that's there. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's sorted. And, prayer night's this week, Wednesday night. Oh, I can't do prayer night. Oh, that's all right. That doesn't matter. And then we go through and go, by the end of the week, I'm wrecked. So maybe we'll just sleep in Sunday and not go to church because we're pretty exhausted and we need to spend some time together as a family. And so we're just going to sit down and just chill Sunday morning and it's all going to be good. And then we'll roll into next week. And what we've done is we've built our week upside down because we said right at the start, number one priority is God. Number two priority is family, but suddenly we're choosing to organize our week around work and football, work and sport, work and recreation, instead of choosing to organize our week, if you mess up your week. There's a little thing for there. But we organize everything. It all ends up. Can you see how it gets out of balance so quick? And then we go, I've never come to a prayer night because it just doesn't work for me. It's family night. Oh, I can't serve on team because Sunday mornings is just for our family and we don't know if we're going to be at church or not because it depends how busy we've been. And we go, I love God and I love my family. Like, they're the two most important things in my life, but now I've got to deal with all of this. But what would happen if we build our week and went, all right, number one priority is God. So church is in the calendar, connect groups in the calendar, prayer nights in the calendar. Those three are there, done. Then we build our week around that and go, okay, so family dinner, we're going to have family dinner Monday night, we're going to have family dinner Friday night. Two family dinners in, all right, if we get more then that's perfect, but two, let's just start with that because our weeks are busy. And then we go work and I've got this meeting and that meeting and I need to be here and I'm interstate there and I'm all over whatever's happening for work. And we build our week off and then we get to the, okay, now have I got time for sport? Yep, I can get to sport Thursday night, but it's not going to be till a half hour later because I've got to put the kids to bed. And then sport Saturday, yep, well, I'm playing that. And so we're going to be there and we're going to prioritize that and we're going to work around that. But that's built in the framework of after we've structured, what's our number one priority? I think this is what Jesus is saying, we'd let the dead bury the dead. Is it stop trying to work everything out and fit everything in? It's like, no, we've only got 1 week. I remember Jay John saying, well, you can't fit more than 24 hours in a day. We've only got enough time for what God needs us to do in our life. In my head, I said that in a Jay John accent. It sounded so much better. If you've heard Jay John that message, then you just said it exactly the same way as I did in my head. I'm not even trying to say a Jay John accent in public. I do it at home in the shower when I'm practicing, but that's it. And then I go, no, that's going to sound stupid. So I'm not doing that, and we move on. But that's where we go. And so can I challenge you, church? Let's restructure our week. Let's go, hang on, no, let's put our priorities as our priorities and let's filter down instead of flip it and filter up and suddenly we're no time for family, no time for church, no time for God because I'm doing all this superficial stuff that actually makes no difference to my life. What's your excuse? But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, I preached out of this a couple of weeks ago, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. I think I've shared this before, I can't remember, but I remember going to a Tackle Your Feelings workshop that the SANFL run in partnership with the AFL, and they run it to tackle your feelings. And so they run it aimed at coaches and they run it aimed at players. And there's these two different deals that are going and it's run by psychologists. And so I attended one last year and met, he was the head psychologist for the South Australia Police Force for about 10 years. And we was talking after the session and having a conversation and he said to me, he said, I'm not a man of faith, don't believe, don't go to church at all. But I cannot unpack this in my head enough or cannot stop wrestling with this, that the further the decline of the church, the greater the incline of mental health. He said there's just got to be something in it that as people stop going to church and stop prioritizing God, we're seeing more and more mental health, we're seeing more and more suicides, we're seeing more and more divorces, we're seeing more and more of all of these things happen in our community, happen in our country, and it's this straight overlap. Oh, I need to go the same way, don't I? Where mental health is going up and church is going down. But as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. And the last one, sacrifice of connection to past. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service." You can't have two hands on the plow and look back, because what happens? You get distracted and you go, it's like riding a bike when you're learning. Or if you haven't ridden a bike for a long time and you start, right, or driving a car, and you just reach over to pick up a kid's toy because they've dropped it, or a drink bottle that's on the floor, and you bend down to pick it up, and because you bend and you twist your hand, you've taken your eyes off where you're going, and your body goes, and as your body goes, the steering wheel goes, as the body goes, your plow goes, as your body goes, your bike goes, whatever the analogy is. If we look behind and we start checking over our shoulders, we end up off track. We end up off track. Nobody who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We need to be, get the blinkers on. We need to be focused. Who am I following? I'm following Jesus. I'm not following Shane. Shane's great. I love Shane. But like me, Shane's got some issues. And so if I start just purely hanging out with Shane and going, I want to be like Shane, then guess what? My issues and his issues collide and they create an even bigger issue. But when me and Shane hang out and we're focused on Jesus, then my issues and Shane's issues, they're back here. We're hanging on to the plow. We're hanging on to the handlebars. We're hanging on. I remember having a bike like that as a kid, one of the big long saddleback seats. It was like, I felt like I was riding a Harley as a kid on my push bike. And I had the big like back support arch at the back. Yeah, anyway, I just pictured that as I put my hands like that and said, holding onto the handlebars. Anyway, sidetracked. But there's this, when we focused on Jesus and we're going towards Jesus and we've got our hands on the handlebars and we're focused and we're riding along with our mates, and Shane's riding his pushy behind. He's on a little BMX stunt bike with the pegs out the back because he's doing fully sick tricks. And we're going through life together. But guess what? When we're just here side by side, we can talk to each other. We can hang out. We can have fun. We can have a blast. He's doing all the jumps, but I'm just cruising along because I'm sitting back. And it's like, but as soon as we look behind, we get distracted. As soon as we look behind, we look to our past and start... And then we start to veer off course. Because Jesus is saying, don't look back. Look forward at me. Focus on me. Focus on who I am and what I am. Focus on what I said, not what you said 10 years ago, or what your primary school teacher said 10 years ago, or your high school teacher said 10 years ago. Or your... Don't focus on that. Because that teacher that said you'll never make it, that teacher that said that they were up praying all night for you because they were worried sick that you were going to be a write-off, that person who put you down and said you'll never be anything, there's no point focus on Jesus, who said, I have made you just the way you are, fearfully and wonderfully made. Focus on Jesus, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, but I've just, everybody in my life that I get close to, they leave. Jesus doesn't. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so let's stand together this morning. Because I want us to be a church who live by faith, who are willing to sacrifice, who are willing to lay down, who are willing to have the confronting and uncomfortable conversations. Why? Not because we want to rub someone up the wrong way, not because we want to win an argument, not because we want to take someone to task, not because we want to ask someone to do something, not because we want to do anything other than live by faith, following Jesus. See, when our number one priority is truly our number one priority, the excuses fall to the wayside and we go, this is it. It's not easy. The task is not easy, but the choice is. The choice of going, I'm going to be there. The choice of going, I'm going to get into my word. I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to read it. The choice of, I'm going to pray. The choice of, I'm going to lift my hands and worship. Oh, but I've got a little bit of a sore arm. Oh, I'm a little bit tired. Hang on, no. The task is sometimes hard, right? When we're injured. The task is sometimes hard when we've got to have that uncomfortable conversation. The task is sometimes hard when the choice of, oh, but hang on. Don't focus on the task. Focus on Him. Father, I pray for every one of us this morning. God, as we just ponder, consider what's been put in front of us this morning. God, I pray that it's come across, said from a place of love. Said from a place of respect and honor. God, that we would be a church, a group of people, a group of misfits, going right back to Stephen's words, a bunch of people that just, how do we fit together? For no other reason but God. And so God, I pray that this morning, for those of us who have been challenged, God, we'd jump on a team. God, we'd serve You. We'd love You with all our heart. God, we'd have that conversation. We'd make that decision. We'd reorder the way that we live our life, the way that we structure our week, to be focused on You, not giving You the scraps. God, we just continue to pray for our Easter services in 2 weeks, God, and those people that we can invite. Again, don't go to the place of, oh, but what if they're not ready? What if this? What if that? What if that? No, focus on Jesus. By faith, ask. By faith, see them here, standing alongside of you. You might be standing here, you might be watching online. You know what? I'm not walking closely with Jesus. In fact, I haven't been walking with Him at all. I've been doing my own thing for the last year, the last 10 years, all my life. I've just been doing that, but I want to walk with Him. I want to start today journeying with Him. If that's you this morning, you go, John, I want to come back to God. I want to come to God for the first time. I'd love to pray a prayer with you, to invite Jesus into your heart, to ask Him to guide you, to walk with you for the rest of your days. Say sorry, to apologize for what we've done. If that's you and you're watching online, there's a link on our website that you can click and there's a prayer there. If you pray that prayer, please get in touch with us. We'd love to just help equip you, link you up with a local church. If you're here in this meeting this morning, I'd love to pray that prayer with you in person and encourage you as you start your journey. So please come and see me when we finish, when we close the service. 30 seconds. If you been challenged by this morning's message. I've been challenged by this morning's message this week as I've been preparing. It's okay. I've had moments where I've been angry with myself for delivering it. I've been angry with God for putting it in front of me. I've been angry at all sorts of different emotions and thoughts. And it's okay. It's a good thing because it's making us think, making us chew on it. If you just need a moment on the altar this morning, then please come as we sing this song. Some of the team will stick around afterwards if you need prayer for, again, response to this message or anything else that you've got. This altar is not a place of need. It's not a place for the needy. It's a place for those hungry for God, hungry for Jesus. And so please come and just stand, linger during the worship, after the worship. But have a fantastic week, church. Go and encourage someone. Go and challenge someone over coffee. We will see you next Sunday. Pastor Richard Green, our overseer, in the house, 10 a.m., 5 p.m. It's going to be phenomenal. You don't want to miss that. We'll see you then. Let's sing.